A new book looks at the history of the Cherokee Nation through the lens of a bitter rivalry between two powerful chiefs and how their feud shaped the tribe's history. Blood Moon takes readers from the arrival of white settlers through the Trail of Tears and the U.S. Civil War, and its vivid detail and descriptions bring to life the nuanced and often bloody history of the Cherokee Nation. Here's author John Sedgwick reading a passage about the ambush of an outlaw Indian named Doublehead by a young chief known as the Ridge.
With a roar, Doublehead closed on the Ridge and wrapped his meaty arms around him. He pushed him backward onto the floor, reaching with his good hand for an eye to puncture or flesh to claw, lifting his knee into the Ridge, hoping to jam it into a soft place. Doublehead smeared the Ridge everywhere with his hot blood.
And author John Sedgwick joins us from New York to talk about Blood Moon. John, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
John, I want to start with the details. I mean, the book is pretty vivid. It includes treaties and narratives, but also some gory battle scenes. How did you uncover some of these meticulous details, you know, not only about the battles, but about conversations, the relationships, especially since the Cherokee had no written language?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. But fortunately, there had been historians that went before me, and their work, unfortunately, had faded from the spotlight. But they were able to steer me to the letters, the diaries, the newspaper accounts that would allow me to sort of fill out my story with the details.
So, John, let's get to the protagonist of this book. There's a chief called The Ridge. He's mostly Cherokee, though he does have at least one Scottish ancestor. But he was born to a Cherokee mother, raised speaking Cherokee, had a shaman present at his birth. His bitter rival was John Ross. He has only one Cherokee great-grandparent. He spoke only English. Tell us more about these two giants of Cherokee history.
They were the two great leaders of the Cherokee Nation. They were the Hamilton and the Jefferson of the Cherokee. A study in contrast, as you said before, shaped the outcome of the nation far more than anything that the American government did. John Ross, as you said, 5 foot five, as white as I am, not that your listeners can see me, but I'm extremely white. He wore a top hat, leather shoes, whereas the Ridge was a classic Cherokee warrior, 6 foot two, copper skinned, powerful, and amazingly, neither spoke the other's language, as you say. And yet they combined to create the modern Cherokee government that was styled after the American government, an extraordinary story. I mean, they had a constitution, they had a legislature, they had a Supreme Court. They worked together to create that, and then they disagreed over this terrible pending issue of removal.
We'll get to the removal issue, but first I want to talk a little bit more about these two and about the Cherokee. I mean, you know, while there were certainly skirmishes between white settlers and Indians, of course, you know, you point out these allegiances and alliances were always shifting, and it wasn't always white versus Indian. There was Indian versus Indian. And in fact, in many cases, as you point out, it was hard to tell by looking at people, you know, who was white and who was Indian. Talk some about that.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, this was a story of a people in evolution, a very rapid evolution. For literally 20,000 years, life was pretty much the same until the whites came in number in the late 17th century, at which point the Cherokee gradually had to face this terrible decision. Should they evolve to become, in effect, like whites in order to pass with these white powers so that they would let them alone or at least respect them? Or should they hang on to their own identity and stay as they always were? And on top of that, of course, the whites married in to the Cherokee and gradually shifted the color of their skin. In the case of the two that I looked at, of course, John Ross was mostly white. The Ridge was mostly Cherokee, but his children became whiter and whiter, both by affect and by the marriages that they themselves had.
Let's look at removal and this big split between these two giants of the Cherokee. Let's talk about the Trail of Tears. This is when the rivalry really kind of takes off. President Andrew Jackson passed the Indian Removal Act in 1830. It forced the removal of the six tribes from their ancestral lands. The last were the Cherokee. But you show that tribes were deeply divided over whether they should go.
Well, it was a terrible decision for the Cherokee. At the time of the Trail of Tears, there were probably 20,000 Cherokee, with literally millions of white settlers encroaching on every side. They had no standing army. They had a fledgling economy. They got little respect from Washington. Their future was bleak in the East. And the Ridge saw that the numbers were against them and saw that not only was the pressure coming from the East, from the federal government and Jackson, but more importantly, from Georgians who had taken it upon themselves literally to seize Cherokee property once they discovered that there was gold in those hills.
So stealing property, and he was kind of a realist saying, we have no choice.
We have no choice. We got to get out of town here. We have no future. It's just going to get worse. They were getting slaughtered. They were getting whipped. They had no standing in courts. They had no defenses. And Ross, who had his following among the traditional Cherokee, the so-called full-bloods, who were relatively ignorant about what was going on in the wider world and wanted to hunker down and stay, he thought that because of his political base that he should play to them and that he should try and stay also. And that dispute set them against each other big time.
John, there's a section of the book that speaks to that exactly. If you could read that section.
If the Cherokee insisted on staying, they could do so only as citizens of the United States, Jackson declared, for the Cherokee Nation would be no more. It was an imperious position, and it said a lot about Jackson's high regard for himself and his low regard for Indians. It was the same raw deal that Jefferson had offered long before. Leave as Cherokee or stay as Americans. The Cherokee would be gone either way.
And talk about the fallout for the Cherokee, the Trail of Tears. We know from a broad sweep and the horror of it, this forced removal.
It was horrendous because there was a divide. There was a class divide in some ways because the Ridge had his followers among more elite, the more prosperous, the more nimble, the more adaptable people. The other people, the full-bloods that were the backers of Ross, couldn't move so easily. They were essentially lower class, that they had fewer opportunities. They needed to stay where they were. Well, those were the ones who were blindsided by the removal, that they had been told by Ross that they wouldn't have to remove, and so they were completely unprepared. Mm-hmm. When it turned out they did, they were rousted out of their homes at gunpoint, some of them interrupted at dinner. Mm-hmm. They were grabbed, they were sent onto these nasty keelboats that tipped this way and that, going up the raging Tennessee, and sent to, in their minds, God knows where. It might have been to the far side of the moon as far as they were concerned. They had no idea where Oklahoma was or how to get there or what they would do when they arrived. Thousands died en route, and thousands more died of starvation and of disease once they arrived. It was a cataclysm for the Cherokee people.
John, this split continues right into the American Civil War, the Ross and the Ridge factions splitting north and south. Talk about that.
Well, it's incredible that this dispute between Ross and Ridge, once they create the country together, they divide over the issue of removal, and spoiler alert, I have to tell you what happens. Ross's people ended up killing not only Ridge, but his nephew and his son, who were the three leaders of his faction. That set the Cherokee Nation into convulsions. There was a civil war within the tribe in Oklahoma, and then it was not fully resolved, even at the time of the Civil War. So that once that war broke out, the war between the states, that the Cherokee had a natural affinity for the Confederate side. They aspired to be Southern plantation owners. Incredibly enough, they kept slaves themselves. The other side, the Ross faction, came in on the side of the Union in order to continue this fight between themselves. It had nothing to do with the larger issues of the greater war.
John, there have been some criticisms of the book. One is that Blood Moon perpetuates stereotypes of Native Americans. One writer lists long hair, face paint, terrifying war cries, knives, tomahawks, and scalpings as part of, what he saw as demeaning depictions of a complex culture. Do you think those criticisms are unfounded? How do you answer that?
I welcome them, quite honestly. They speak to the core issues of the book, which is who are the Cherokee and also who defines them and by what standards. The Cherokee people themselves, as I said, were in this kind of evolution within the context of white culture. Well, how should they relate to it? Should they aspire to the standards of the whites? Should they allow the whites to define them? Or should they hunker down and be the people that they always were? These are important questions to address, and they have to do with identity, with cultural assimilation, and with the issues that are central to all Americans today. I welcome them.
John, you write about how the Ridge tried to understand Christianity and realized for the first time the concept of right and wrong as opposed to just necessary. Were John Ross and the Ridge driven in the end by right and wrong or just necessary? I mean, could it have ended any differently in your view?
That's an excellent question, and frankly, I don't see how it could have ended any differently in any substantive way. The Cherokee did suffer more than the other tribes. I think that if they had recognized that this simply was going to happen, they would have to leave, they could have adjusted more easily, and their accommodations might better have been made for them. But as it was, they were, as I say, they were blindsided by this. It went a lot worse for that reason, and I attribute that to this dispute within the nation as to whether this was going to happen or not.
John Sedgwick's new history is Blood Moon, an epic of war and splendor in the Cherokee Nation. John, thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.